Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
Never filtered. Always fun.
Cristiano Ronaldo's bar play. I think it might be in the Hall of Fame and in a wing all to itself. I can't picture another athlete that would come close.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, Kyle Dubas coming up. He's going to call in at 5:05. It's a big week in the NHL, draft week, and Dubas will be the man, the myth, the legend for the Maple Leafs, potentially anyway. We'll see what he has in store. The first time he is the GM of the team at the draft. It's not like it's his first rodeo. He's been there the past few years, but everything's going to be going through him, and the Leafs pick in the mid-20s, so you know you can't undervalue the importance of still adding to your farm system. I mean, you're not going to get necessarily a grand slam that you feel 100% committed to at 25, but that doesn't mean you can throw away the pick. You got to keep bringing in kids.
Yep.
I'll just consider one draft in particular that we were at. They took Freddie the Goat. Right behind Freddie the Goat was Burakovsky, and then right after that was Shea Theodore. Two pretty good players. Freddie the Goat hasn't cracked the lineup yet.
Do not soil the resume of Freddie the Goat.
I'm not soiling anything. I'm just saying.
Two world, what is it?
World Junior Championships.
Championships and a Calder Cup.
And a Calder Cup.
I'm just saying, gentlemen.
He's 23 years old.
Is there any one of you two that would take Freddie the Goat over any of those two players?
Did you just say before he turns 23 years old?
Yes.
As if that's impressive in the hockey world.
He's trying to be, you know.
You're trying to pump his tires.
Put it this way. Freddie the Goat has done nothing but play well in every situation he's been placed in.
Is it safe to say if Dubas was running that draft, he wouldn't take Freddie the Goat?
I don't know.
Like, that's the thing, right? Like, I can't get a read on Kyle. And to be fair to Kyle Dubas, like, I feel like there are certain that he's been labeled a guy. Like, if he doesn't take an undersized skill possession guy, it's like, what are you doing? You've gone against the grain.
But that's
which is totally unfair to him.
It is unfair to him because I think Kyle's a sharp guy on many levels. He's just not applying analytics to everything. I think analytics are part of every world. And if they aren't, then you are not with the times. This is information. Information is part of your decision-making process. It's not all of it, because instinct has to come in. Some intangibles that can't be measured with or quantified with a number, as far as character, family, you know, how you treat your teammates. And I'll keep coming back to the Mike Hoffman situation and Erik Karlsson, because I've never seen anything like that. And
never.
Brian, I've never seen anything like that, but this is the world we live in. But I have seen people that are disruptive in a room that are good players that need to be moved out in my time.
All right, before we get to Kyle, I guess we have to ask him about this. Bob McKenzie, our own hockey insider, just sent out this tweet. Like a lot of teams, no doubt if John Tavares gets to UFA shopping period, and it is still an if at this point, Toronto is believed to be putting together a promotional video for Tavares that may even include a cameo pitch or two from some current Leaf players.
So there you go. That'd be Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and maybe Freddie Anderson.
Or the GOAT.
What about us? Why aren't we on the video?
Just what the hell are we going to say that would entice John Tavares?
I don't know.
We promise you Joe from the Bridge won't show up at your house once a week.
What would be our pitch to John Tavares? How could we make it enticing for him to come home and play here?
1-2 punch. You need a 1-2 punch to win, don't you?
Yeah, but that's not our job. We would have to speak on behalf of like all the crazy Leaf fans
on the show
and media
once a week.
And that he wouldn't want that.
I don't think he'd want to do
Although he did like calling into our show because he's a big baseball fan.
Right.
He's
we talked Jays with him.
Yeah.
Although it's kind of tough to talk Jays with him right now.
Yeah, he'd be down on them. I think the best thing we could do is say, I promise you won't have to speak to the media every day. There's not going to be 100 people standing outside your stall every day harassing you. And that's that may be a sales pitch.
How about this? We know where the rink is. You have a rink here, unlike in New York with the Islanders.
Great practice rink, too.
You got a really good team.
You've got a good team. You got
really good team.
There's nothing, but I think you could, if from the media side, we could say, there's not going to be a story on your cat.
Well, we can't guarantee that.
Well, that's the thing.
We cannot control the cat stories. I don't even know if he has a cat, but...
But we could try and tone his coverage down so that he wouldn't feel like he's being attacked every day.
Here's the thing. I just thought of this. Because he's still under contract and it's not like the negotiating period, I don't know if Kyle can even talk about this.
No, he can't. He wouldn't be able to.
I think we kind of. I think we have to pose it to him and then he can just say, I can't comment on it.
Well, at least give him the out and say,
okay.
Can you? I mean, you can't.
No, we're not gonna,
blazing.
No, of course not. He's not going to break any like league rules or anything like that.
No, not at all.
All right. He's on hold, so he's hearing all of this anyway.
Well, there you go.
I'm sure he's prepared for this. Here's the GM of the Maple Leafs, Kyle Dubas. How you doing, Kyle?
Good, guys. How are you doing today?
We're doing well. I got to throw this at you. I have a feeling I know how you're going to respond, but our own Bob McKenzie just tweeted out that if John Tavares gets to the UFA shopping period, and it's an if at this point, Toronto is believed to be putting together a promotional video for John Tavares that may even include a cameo pitch or two from some current Leaf players. Can you comment on that?
I cannot comment on that or any players that are under contract to other teams.
Okay. That's what we figured.
I just thought it would be a cameo of yourself lifting the Calder Cup above your head and your reaction. Because I'm sure, I don't know if you've seen online that has been making the rounds. I mean, you seem very excited and we're very happy for you. But man,
you went all WWF on that
thing.
Yeah,
that was something else.
Well, I'm glad to keep you guys entertained at the very least. So it was an exciting night. A lot of those people I've worked with for a long time, and it's an exciting event. And it's a long journey through the year, 9 months, a lot of ups and downs with everybody part of the program along the way. And then it goes to a Game 7 situation, and it was a great crowd, great atmosphere, and then just the way that the game went, it was an emotional game. With a controversial call in the third period, and then the team puts it away. And when you go from up top all the way down, a lot of emotions run through, and you see all the people you've worked with for, in some cases, 7 years, and you work towards that. So it was an emotional event, an exciting event, and so I was emotional and excited.
I was impressed and happy for some of the older guys, and it must be so difficult to really keep them engaged and being happy playing in the American Hockey League, guys like Greening and Rich Kloon. It's like you really had a buy-in from those guys, didn't you? Where it was like so some of the older players that are kind of just hanging around, they're not exactly the happiest of people, but these guys really seemed to buy in and really enjoyed and loved being Marlies.
Jeff, they were every single day you came in, and those two plus Vincent Laverty, Chris Mueller, Ben Smith, who made up the veteran component of the team, you never ever had to worry any day how they were going to come into the rink. Never had to negotiate their disposition with them and try to get them into a good mood. Mm-hmm. It was very clear to them from the beginning of the year what their role was going to be, and all three of them really, really embraced it and made my life and the life of the organization so easy. They were great with their habits and their effort each day, but beyond that, how they really took to the young players and people on the team and helped them on and off the ice every day, it was a really special group of veteran players and the best that we've had here. So I was really happy for them, because that's a big accomplishment for them to add to their resume as they continue to navigate their way through professional hockey and stay in it. And teams are always looking for players that have that on their resume. So it was a great accomplishment for those guys in particular.
With Kyle Dubas. So how do you go about keeping Sheldon Keefe in the organization?
Well, Sheldon's under contract, and I think that I think we're probably pretty fortunate that, you know, it's now, it was June 14th when the Marlies won and the season ended, and teams tend not to want to wait that long if they have openings. So, you know, it was, I think we'll get fortunate that way with Sheldon this year. But I think that it's becoming more and more clear as every day and every season goes by with Sheldon that he's going to be an NHL head coach at some point. You know, he continues to evolve and improve year in and year out. And for me personally, and I think beyond that, Brian, for our organization, we want to be developing players. We also want to be developing people. So if you're the American League head coach, you want to try to get you to the NHL, and same for assistant GMs and areas. Scouting people to continue to move them up. So if someone comes into our organization and do a great job for 3 or 4 years and another organization wants to elevate them, I think that we've done our job and we've benefited from having them. So when that day comes for Sheldon, I'll be thrilled for him, undoubtedly.
Do you think you being the general manager of the Marlies and now being the manager of the Leafs, having an inside track to, you know, putting that team together and seeing some of these young kids flourish, now you're going to have an opportunity to make their dreams come true for a couple of these young guys. And, you know, I'm not going to have you name names, but more to keep some spots available for healthy competition at training camp as your organization continues to grow.
I think beyond just me, Jamie, that the run that the team has been on and how long the team played gave everybody in our organization that otherwise wouldn't have the luxury, the chance to see a lot of these guys. So, you know, there's scouts that have been in our organization for a long time that know all these players that were draft picks and, you know, going back to 2012, 2013, that played for the Marlies, whether it's a Garrett Sparks or Frederick Gauthier or Andreas Janssen. So they've known them for a long time, but it's been great to be able to see everyone else in our organization get more and more familiar with those players. And certainly as you do that, I think, and then you see those players play the way that they did through the American League playoffs and then in a really tough final series that goes 7 games, I just think it alleviates some of the concerns that maybe these guys aren't going to be able to get it done at the next level where things are much more difficult and players are much more better and stronger. It alleviates a lot of the concerns of our people internally. Now they're more familiar with those prospects and certainly bodes well for those prospects as we move ahead.
With Kyle Dubas, GM of the Maple Leafs, obviously a big week in the NHL. The NHL draft mm-hmm. takes place later this week in Dallas, and a lot was made during your hiring period with what happened with Mark Hunter and Mark not being with the organization anymore, and he was a big part of the drafting process the past couple of years. That's over a month ago now, and you guys have had some time to kind of recalibrate and figure out who you are and what you are and what you want to do leading up to the draft. How comfortable do you feel that you guys are prepared for the draft, and what's your excitement level like for this weekend?
Well, I think the draft is always an exciting time. It's an opportunity for every team to definitively add new prospects to the organization that everyone hopes will turn into future Maple Leafs or whatever team that you're with. In our case, as things have taken shape over the last month, it's and the way that we've navigated the month, it's given me a lot of time to spend with our amateur scouting people and with particularly with our area directors and what have you to build our plan as we move ahead. We've had the combine, and then we had a couple weeks thereafter where we were able to spend a lot of time with those people, change different things we wanted to change, and then form our plan of attack. We had some meetings last week. We go into Dallas tonight. We'll have meetings this week. I've been really, really impressed with our group of scouts and how prepared they've been. We have Reed Mitchell here on staff, and he's kind of behind the scenes and doesn't get as much credit as he should, but he's really been a driving force and keeping us focused and pushing things ahead here. So I'm very fortunate to have those people, plus Brandon Prittiman, Lawrence Gilman internally, and it's been a big help. I feel really good about where we're at as a staff right now because of the faith that I've developed in our area people and in the people we have in our front office. So we're looking forward to getting through the week. We've got a good plan for the week, and we'll get to the finish line on Friday and Saturday, and I'm excited to add some more prospects to our pool. And this is an important draft for us and an important number of drafts as we move ahead here, as we're going to need contributions from more and more younger guys as our core grows older and their contract statuses change.
Kyle, what do you think of these development camps that happen right after the draft? I mean, I always look at them. I'm like, is that really necessary to put these guys back on the ice? I mean, their seasons are ended. They're young kids. And then they, what do they got to do, train for a development camp? I mean, I don't know.
Right.
Basically, what I'm saying is I want it all gone, and I want teams to start getting rid of these development camps. Are they that important, or what do you get out of those?
You just want a one-week golf tournament with that. That would be the key.
Some paintball and get out of there. Yeah. A couple of beers, see you later.
So
I'm kind of goofing around, but I'm kind of not. It's like I don't really know what the value of them are.
So the value for us is, for one, it gets our development, you know, in most other sports, the combine, both basketball and football host combines, or in football, they have a pro day where you can go out and actually have your people work or directly observe the player doing football things or basketball things. Here at the NHL combine, it's an interview period and physical testing. So our development camp, we've kind of rotated back and forth, and this year we've sort of eliminated the entire scrimmage portion of it, Jeff. So it's not like, hey, we're going to bring in, you're going to play for 7 days in a row. Last year we did that, and I kind of wondered at the end what we really got out of it by making the players go through that. I see it as an opportunity for the players to get familiar with our development model and our development staff led by Scott Pellerin, and we can begin to work with them on their technical skills. It's not anything that's going to grind them down and then ruin their summer, and I think we got to be cognizant of that as well. But it allows us to introduce ourselves to the organization. We've had Jamie come in before and presented the players on media and how to conduct themselves with the media, and which has been a great experience for our staff and players. And it's more so the off-ice component of it than it is the on-ice, and then also allowing the players to begin building a relationship with our development staff. But we're not going to make any broad decisions based on a player's on-ice capability from how he performs and in small technical skills stuff on the ice. But we've kind of vaulted that this year, and we're one of the teams that has moved to doing our camp rate after the draft. So we start next Monday here in Toronto, and I think that's just more to benefit the players, letting them get into their summer routine for July and August, and our staff as well.
Did you not want me and Hayes talking to the players? Or
and did Noodles sue us at all?
No, I was very polite. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought
Hayes,
I was just
we'll go talk to another organization.
I was a good representative of the organization.
We'll go to Montreal.
The Habs are going to call us. Just a matter of time. They could use our help with Kyle Dubas. In terms of your own free agents, we talked about obviously earlier, until you guys get to that negotiating period starting next Monday, you can't speak with anybody else's free agents, but you got a couple of regulars, a few regulars that are up for new contracts, and Bozak, Komarov, Van Riemsdyk, even Polak. Roman Polak's been a regular on this team for a number of years. I think it's been difficult on the outside to get a read on where these guys sit in terms of your plans, and we wouldn't expect you to detail all those plans, but is there anything you'd want to say to the fan base in terms of the likelihood of any of these guys potentially being in the fold for next year or in years to come?
Well, we haven't closed the door on anything here whatsoever. We continue to stay in touch. Those players in particular have all contributed a lot to the program here, specifically in the last number of years. And they went through some difficult years, including the first two that I was with the organization. And it's been great for them, for me to be able to see them help to push this thing ahead and have some success here the last couple of years in the regular season and get back to the playoffs. So I would never ever completely close the door on anybody that's been a part of that, and we just continue to stay in touch with everyone and navigate our way through the situation here. But we're always looking to make our team better in any way we can. If that's with the people we currently have and bringing them back, we'll do that. If we can get an upgrade somehow, some way, we'll look to do that, whether it's through internal development and progression or somebody via trade or free agency. But I think where we're at in our progression as an organization, we're not closing the door on anything. Our goal is to continue to get better every year here, and that's what we're going to look to do. So the message, I suppose, to the fan base is that's our sole ambition right now, and because of that, we don't close the door on anything, whether it's an incumbent or a newcomer to the process.
With Montreal and Arizona making a trade, sometimes you see other organizations that may open the door for kind of like a domino effect almost. Do you expect more chatter to gain, I guess, more and more as the week goes on leading up to the draft? Because, for example, a trade happens on the weekend, now maybe GMs are – looking at.
They're in the mood.
Yeah, in the mood, moving people around.
I think that this time of year is certainly in the last number of years. Maybe it's just some recency bias on my end, but it seems like there are more and more big moves around this time every year as we go through. Certainly, I think it was 2 years ago now, there was that flurry of massive trades within an hour. But this seems to be a time, I think, because of the structure of some contracts of people and players and when different clauses kick in, that it seems to have a big effect on sort of providing that inciting incident for people to begin exploring different trades, and they seem to be bigger trades than the ones that happen in the year. So I think certainly the chatter is steady and has picked up from the time when I first started, I guess in early May. There's a lot more definitive direction for teams, and I think we're conveying that to one another, and everyone knows what each other's needs are, and you see that first trade Friday, and I think obviously this week is a week where there's just naturally more trades anyway with the draft finish line coming up and then free agency a week away. So I think it's an exciting time to be a fan or in the media, because there's a lot going on, and I think it provides teams the ability to accomplish whatever they want to accomplish depending on where they're at in their progression as a franchise. So it's exciting for all of us, and we just have to continue to follow our process and our system here, and as I said previously, continue to look for ways we can to make our team and our group better day in and day out.
With Kyle Dubas, so we'll get you out of here on a topic that we have talked about extensively on this show, and we expect to talk a lot about throughout the summer and into the fall, and that's the contracts of the three kids, Matthews, Marner, and Nylander. And William Nylander's an RFA, so in order for him to play for you guys in the fall, he's got to sign a new deal. Matthews and Marner have one more year left on their entry-level deals, but as of July 1st, they can sign extensions. I can only imagine that this would be, if not the highest priority for the team, certainly really high on the priority list, but this won't be easy. I mean, this is always a debate throughout the league, what guys should be getting, what kind of terms should be coming with it, and that's only when you're dealing with one guy. You got three of them. I mean, are you rolling into this expecting it to be complicated, expecting it maybe some egos to get bruised? I mean, how are you approaching these three contracts?
I think, you know, well, one of them is expired. They're expiring on June 30th, and that's William. So in his case, you know, we'll get to all of them. And I think the league in general, because of some of the things that have happened in the past number of years, I think they see the July 1st, the year, you know, the immediate day that the team can begin extending somebody as sort of a deadline, as though we have to have it done July 1st and announce it. Otherwise, there's trouble. And my way of doing it may not appeal to the masses, but I believe in extreme patience with these things. They're big decisions, not only for us, but for the players as well, on whatever commitment they make next in terms of term and dollars. And I want to be sure that the players understand our vision as a team and are comfortable with it just as much as we're comfortable with them, which we obviously are. So things may not happen as quickly as people would like with big announcements right at the outset, and that's my decision, not anything to do with the players. But you know, we're eligible to begin discussions with two of them on July 1st, and with William, we know his contract is expired, so we'll get to work on all of that, and it might be a little bit too patient for media or fans, but that's the way that we'll do it. And I think all three are obviously very good players that we're very excited about, and it'll be good Maple Leafs for a long time.
Well, we're looking forward to this week of the draft and free agency and beyond. So enjoy it down there in Dallas. We always appreciate you doing this for us, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Kyle.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Talk to you soon.
There's Kyle Dubas, GM of the Maple Leafs. I think that's an interesting couple of comments. I mean, things can change, but he did say, you know, we look forward to them being Maple Leafs for a long time. And
yeah,
do you think it's by design that me and you don't go to the talk to the team?
No, I don't think that's by design at all. Actually, I do think it's by design.
It's by design.
It is by design. Yes, it is. Noodles is much more professional than the two of us. I'd get in there and start yelling and screaming about stuff and
yelling at players.
Yeah. How'd you trade Jay Buhner?
You'd be George Costanza.
I'd be Frank Costanza.
What the hell do you trade Jay Buhner for?
Freddie Anderson. I'm like, you got to take me through that third period, Game 7. Yeah. What the hell was going on there?
Anyways.
Just get chicken winged right out of the building.
I mean, Kyle's such a well-spoken person.
But I just want to make one more point about what he said there, and I think it's important. I think the message he just wanted to get out with that answer is...
he's taking his time.
It's not happening July 1st.
Yeah.
Matthews and Marner aren't signing 8-year deals on July 1. So it may happen July 2nd. Probably not. Probably August 15th out of nowhere.
But he just... and he was very clear about that.
And I have no problem with that policy.
But he said, this is my doing. I'm going to take my time. I want to be patient with this. He's a confident guy, and he also said, the player, this is a lot of money and a lot of term, so these guys want to get it right, too. So, unfortunately, he lives in this market, and if it's not July 1st, we'll be talking about it. We'll be talking about it on That's Hockey. We'll be talking about it on this show.
I have no issue with that policy, but the Jack Eichel policy, where it's like, hey, better happen. I deserve this. Okay, here you go. 8 years, $10 million a year.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, but I mean,
too much power. I mean, you're ultimately going to give them the power anyway with the money and the term, but it's still about the team.
Well, and you have leverage as a team if these guys are RFAs. They're UFAs, very different ballpark. RFAs, you have time. You know, Matthews and Marner, they don't have to have a contract for day one. They can. They got another year left. Yeah, exactly. They got another year left on their deal. Nylander, you have to sign. He's not playing again until he's got a new deal.
Yeah.
So that is obviously a bit of a different timeline, but. Bobby Mack is just blowing up Twitter with John Tavares Maple Leaf tweets.
They're continuing?
There's one more tweet that came out that someone sent us a text last week, and I thought this was a Joe from the Bridge, but it's not a Joe from the Bridge comment. It's Bobby Mack who's throwing this out there, and Dregs is also updating his Tavares reports. We'll tell you about that next. Thanks for listening to Overdrive. Visit TSN1050.ca where you can win $1,000 in free golf from underpar.com. We'll also award 5 runners-up with $100 gift cards. Enter up to once per day until July 1st. Pay less and play more with underpar.com. All right, Bob McKenzie has Joe from the Bridge in a tither, because this is what Joe from the Bridge has been tweeting all along, but nobody's been paying attention because he has no insight.
No, it's because it's Joe from the Bridge.
Tavares is not coming here.
Oh, really?
Yep.
All right.
What a Jerry's percentage on it.
You're 0%.
I'm 4%.
Okay. We got Andy Petrillo in here. Hi, Andy.
Hi.
So we're going to get to some World Cup stuff, maybe. We've got Leaf stuff to get to here.
Okay.
All right? So McKenzie tweeted out, Bob tweeted out, like a lot of teams, no doubt, if Tavares gets to UFA shopping period, and it's still an if Toronto is believed to be putting together a promotional video for Tavares that may even include a cameo pitch or two from some current players, he continues, and this is where it gets very Joe from the Bridges, or Andy from the Bridge-ish.
Maple.
But, Maple.
Andy from Maple.
There was even some talk that the Leafs last week quickly put in a sheet of ice at the ACC, presumably as part of the video shoot.
Here's the problem that I have. Can I weigh in first?
Go ahead. Mm.
If I'm becoming a free agent, I don't need a promotional video to woo me
toot
to come
your
to a team. Like you know exactly where you're going to go. Like if you're looking at 4 or 5 different teams, and let's suggest that Toronto's one of them. Promotional video having Austin Matthews skate in and stop at center ice and go, you're going to pass me the puck, John.
Right.
Would be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
You hate that stuff.
I do, because
I think it's corny.
I think it's ridiculous.
I just had the Here's image of like the letter video. Kenny guys.
We'll pay you a bunch of money and you get to
exactly.
Play for the
my
Leafs.
Promotional video would be a PowerPoint on a screen and go, you're going to get paid $10 million. But
all right, but everyone's going to do that. You have to be original with your
okay. So get
pitch.
Mike Myers and
maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's the love
Justin
guru.
Justin Timber. Yeah, it's the love.
Maybe
guru.
It's the love guru. What
but
do you
is
think
that the
Andy?
Thing now? Is that what's happening? Like having to put together these promotional pitch. I mean, first of all, we're also talking about a guy though who's very familiar with
exactly.
Toronto. This isn't
exactly
a European player who doesn't know where to go and eat and doesn't know what the city's about or what this team means to the NHL. I kind of find, I don't know, to me I think that is a wee bit kitschy. I mean, is that where we're going now in order to lure a player?
Well, by all accounts, when Stamkos got there, they went like above and beyond. Like John Tory was down there,
right?
And they had, and it maybe scared him a little bit. Like, what are you doing? Like, why is this?
There's
just relax.
Like 48 people in a room going, okay, this will be my role when right. you're here, and I will.
But
you know,
I do think there's a part of you. I can see it from any like any prospective team is trying to make a pitch. You're not going to just wing it. You're not going to show up hungover and be like, hey, I can't believe we're here with you. I don't even know what to say to you. Please sign with my team. You have to have something prepared.
I wasn't being disrespectful.
What's there to prepare, man? You tell them to go out with Austin Matthews on a Friday night and see how that is.
But everybody can do that. Vegas can do that. LA can do that. You have to make it unique for him.
But I guess...
And I think what you're doing, if it were me and you're the Leafs, what you're selling him is, you're selling him on a boyhood dream coming to fruition. If anybody in this room that could speak to that, it's you.
And I didn't need a video to do it.
I know, because you were dying to come here anyway.
Yeah.
But maybe he's dying to anyway, but he really needs that one more push. I don't know.
I don't think a player of that status, he knows what's at stake. He knows what it would be to play here.
And he's not 19.
If you got to do the video, then do the video. They'll probably do pretty creative things, but
Maybe it's like an EA Sports that has him in a Leaf jersey hoisting the cup in 2020 or something, which would be cool. But my point is, if he's coming here, he's not coming here because of a video. He's coming here because
of course
the potential to do something special. But I just, I'm...
My video was the Leafs, seeing the Leafs at a bar when I was out and they were having their year-end party. That was my video.
Okay, maybe he had access to that.
Did that ever make it to public viewing?
No, they were just out. They were having some beers, and they were legends. Everyone loved them. I'm like, this would be cool to be a Leaf.
But I also...
Because I was the Carolina Hurricane loser in the corner. That was my video.
But Andy, you said he grew up here. He knows exactly what it's all about. This guy knows what the market's all about. Like, I think if anything, he's just... And if knowing... And again, I don't know John Tavares, but knowing his personality of what he projects out there... He seems like a pretty kind of reserved guy.
We got to make a video for Andy to get Andy on our show permanently.
Oh, geez.
How would you feel about that, Andy?
So I could just sit here with my look of disappointment.
Just staring at
you. Just stare at you.
You'd be nice. We've been ripped enough already today.
No, yeah. I love you guys. Listen to you guys all the time. But I just want to say, on that whole thing, it just doesn't surprise me if this is the way things go. To your point, it's like part of the whole presentation. And I feel like ever since Steve Jobs did the whole thing with Apple and you get on up with your little mic and you make your whole presentation, that's right. Just how you do business nowadays, to sell something.
Right. I agree.
There's an obligation to feel like you've put an effort into it.
But the effort, I think, agree. I don't think the video is as much as the presentation of, hey, this is in a PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what you could make. This is how impactful you can be on the team. I think there'll be many levels. And knowing this management team now, Lawrence Gilman, like all of the people involved, Pridham, they're not guys who are boisterous, but they're really bright guys. So they'll put together a ridiculous PowerPoint presentation, showing.
But what's the difference? Like you guys are saying, all that matters is you already know Toronto and it's the money and the term. What's a PowerPoint going to do on top of a video?
That's like, what, man.
If you're against a video, why are you pro PowerPoint?
What is a PowerPoint? What I'm saying is, I think you're not just showing he can make $10 million a year on a salary. He has X, Y, and Z as potential signs with Under Armour for $1 million. Here's what you can do financially on this sector and this sector.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
I think that's what I'm saying. Like, not, dude, we all know.
Doesn't this guy already have probably $60 million in the bank?
But you can always get more, man. That's what it's always about.
You always want more.
You always want more, and I agree. But I just.
Your grandkids can't spend that.
I think he's all. I think he's still a minority. I believe he's going back to the Islanders.
Well,
my personal.
I agree with you. Safe money is him going home.
Right.
That's what.
Well, what the hell's the Islanders video?
Barry Trotz.
Got no rink.
No, it's
could
Lou.
Be Barry Trotz.
But that's the thing.
We don't have a goalie.
We
don't know where we're playing.
That all that stuff. Like I say, everyone could say that in June, but.
Come play for us.
If Lou goes and trades for a goalie at the draft, all of a sudden, hey, we do have a goalie. Oh, by the way, we got a coach that I've just hired. Like, I think people are clowning on the Islanders. They can have a quick turnaround pretty quick. Like, they've got a lot of talent.
Potentially, yeah. They don't have Maple Leaf talent, but they got talent. I mean, if it's simply about winning, who are you playing on? The Maple Leafs or the Islanders?
They're not that far away from the Maple Leafs.
All right.
I personally don't like their team.
Okay, but add a goaltender. Add a good coach.
They got heavy
lifting. Okay, Leafs add a number one defenseman. Like, if we're playing that game, then we can go all day if you want.
But you're acting like the Leafs have won 5 cups in a row.
But you're acting like the Islanders have been in the playoffs.
I'm saying that one or two moves can change the trajectory of an organization very quickly.
And that applies across the board.
Right.
Courtney tweeting in and pointing out, I know it didn't turn out that well, but I'm pretty sure they made a video for David Clarkson. Maybe they shouldn't make a video, now that I think about it. All right, Andy Petrillo's in here. How about that Harry Kane, Andy? What a player for England.
Harry, and he's had to defend this squad right from the get-go. It's their third youngest World Cup team that they've sent to the World Cup. So right away, you're inexperienced. You guys don't know what it's like to be on the big stage. Harry Kane's given the armband. So, of course, you naturally, as the captain, you have to become the voice piece as well. And what else is he going to say? He's going to come out and say, I think we have a legitimate shot of winning the World Cup, which actually sparked a lot of laughter from people. But, you know, what do you want him to say? He's part of this team, and he's also the captain. But to me, he spoke with his actions today, and he goes on out. He gets both goals for them to lead them to the 2-1 win. And, like, here's the thing, and I know we debate this all the time in sports. So they were 1-1 with Tunisia. Tunisia got a penalty kick. That's how they scored.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Harry Kane had to get that goal in stoppage time, the header, to win it 2-1. But it would have been considered a national disaster if they drew with Tunisia, even though you could make the argument England played such a solid game. Like, they really did.
They had great opportunities.
They had great opportunities. They did play a strong game, but it's England.
Yeah.
You have to get the win. I mean, and you know, when you say this too a lot of times, like, well, the Leafs had like a really strong game. You can't crap on them for what they did, but maybe it ended up being a 1 point that night.
Right.
Or so. It's just always perception, right? But sometimes you fail to look at the bigger picture of how they played all around.
Well, it's funny because Belgium has a very similar reputation internationally, like tons of talent, but they can't break through, and they're both in the same group.
Mm-hmm.
And Belgium had a great second half today, and they ended up winning. And I'm with you because I live next door to an English guy who's from England, diehard. We were talking today, and he's like, I'm prepping for them to find a way to tie this game or lose this game because this is what England always does. So for them to find a way to win when they were supposed to is probably a good start for them. But we were talking about this when you came in. A lot of the big boys struggling early. Like Germany loses outright.
Yeah.
Argentina ties. Brazil ties.
Yeah.
I mean, should we be setting up for kind of a shocking World Cup? Are you seeing that? Or
You know what? It's tough because, I mean, you're not going to win or lose anything, I think, in the first game. So I think once the second game comes around, this is where you really need to start asking questions if it's going to happen or not happen. But yeah, there's just some real shockers. I think more people are concerned with Germany's loss to Mexico than they are with Brazil's draw with Switzerland. Because again, you watch the play. And there was way more confidence in what Brazil was able to do. A lot more people felt like Germany just wasn't getting anything going whatsoever. And Mexico, I'm sure you guys talked about that. The celebrations actually caused a reading on the earthquake radar system.
The Richter scale starts going crazy.
It was like House of Pain jump around. Like, I was just surprised that wasn't playing in the background. Like, they caused an earthquake.
Mexico's a pretty good team, though, right? Like, they're generally top 10 in the world, top 15 in the world. Are they not? Like,
yeah, so 6 straight World Cups. They've made it out of the group stage, but they've lost each time in the round of 16. It's been heartbreak for them. But I mean, they're no slouch of an opponent. I mean, they're pretty strong, but it was just Germany is supposed to be that much stronger, but they were winless in 5 straight friendlies before barely squeaking out a win, barely, over Saudi Arabia in their final tune-up match. So you can make the argument that Germany actually stumbled into the tournament.
Mm. You guys on your broadcast, you have to shy away from the German coach and his antics on the bench.
Can I Joachim tell you every Lowe. Time like they took guy. A shot, I'm like, please don't. I can't handle it. I do not want to see it.
Is he not the most disgusting international figure of all time?
No, we get sent tweets all the time. Because
he grabbed an ass booger today and flicked it around.
No, he needs to come on.
But it was like, I think that could have been fake news.
I think it's real news. Dude, this guy doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt.
He's been doing this. I shouldn't defend
him. There's video evidence. Like,
have you seen the video?
I showed it to somebody.
What, the recent one? There's one today?
No, I think it was like over the weekend.
When they played yesterday, I think it was
yesterday. Somebody sent it to the OverDrive account.
He picked his rear end. He had something, and he was rolling it around.
Show
her.
It was lint.
It was cotton fuzz. It had to have been from
really, huh?
Joe Boxer lint.
He smelt it.
It was Joe Boxer.
And you know what?
Joe Boxers.
Oh, that's what bothers me, is the fact that he has to in some way smell it or ingest it. Like, if you're going to pick, just flick it away. Like, why does there have to be a smell
There's
and ingest?
There's something inside that man where he just takes one little look and says,
I need it.
I'm smelling it.
That's mine.
That's
I need
mine?
It. I need it.
I need it now. The drug. It's intoxicating for him.
Oh, it is. Tell this guy that Joe Boxer's are just for losers?
Why would I know this?
Oh, you need to know. If you saw a guy with Joe boxers on, you'd say that guy's a loser.
I don't think women care.
I don't. Be honest, because we don't have a lot of women on the show. It's actually finally we have one on here where we can ask these kind of dumb questions. I don't think, like we were saying off the top of the show, there's, you know, men in a lot of ways have caught up to women or catching up in terms of manscaping, in terms of appearance and all that kind of stuff, right? Because women have been doing that forever and guys have been like, sorry, this is what you're getting. This is the way it goes. But I think when it comes to underwear, we just have not, we don't care enough. Where women's underwear is always this luxurious, it always looks great. Men are just like, I don't care. This is what's coming with the program.
I guess we do have way more options as well with our undergarments. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, at least for me, and I think I speak on behalf of a lot of the women I know, just make sure it's clean. I don't care. I don't care. Thank boxer, briefs, shorts,
well,
thongs, whatever you men want to wear.
Andy.
Right.
Just make sure it's clean.
That's what
he
I
has
thought.
Underpants that are 6 to 7 years old. Is that too much?
I go through a cycle.
You have to cycle.
Year.
Oh, for me, it's every year.
Well, I wouldn't say I got a ton of them.
You
but
said
like,
you had 6 to 7 year old underpants.
There's some that I commit to. That they're just a part of the program and I can't let go. They're like a child now.
What is it with you? So my husband, sometimes, because I do the laundry in the family, and it's like I'll open up like a pair and it's ripped or there's holes.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, just sew it.
They're comfortable.
Just sew it.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
It's comfort. It's comfort. And if they're being cleaned regularly, they're fine.
Oh, no, they're clean, but they're ripped.
I just find like the waistband gets too stretched out for me. So
there's only one thing you got to do to figure out.
Well, Old said he's got a foolproof method. You're supposed to wash it.
You go ahead.
Wash it good. But then what?
You got to do a deep sniff and see if anything's in the fabric. A German coach sniff to see if there's anything.
Just to make sure.
But right after you clean them.
Yeah, very clean.
Right.
Okay. Well, you know how you can make sure.
Do you think we're just total complete
idiots?
Yeah,
she's walking out of the show.
Well, I could be part of your show and just sit here, like I said, with the look of disappointment. If you want that person in the corner just looking at you.
Happily.
You can
pay
me to do it.
Smalls always looks at.
But here's the key to throw into the washer all the time, no matter what. Because I have to do it with my yoga gear. You want to talk about yoga gear? I feel it can be on par with hockey gear. It can stink.
Because I do hot yoga.
Oh, it's gross. You have to put it's baking powder in the wash or do a scoop of kosher salt.
Really?
That will, yes, it helps it just gets rid of the odor.
What are the benefits of hot yoga? I've never understood that. Like, why do you need to
sweat your ass off?
It's such a good sweat. And if you have like 1,001 aches, like I do, when the room is warmer, you just can move a little bit better it just helps
prevent
injury.
It's a mental challenge, too.
Oh, yeah.
See, I've struggled.
You've tried it before?
Oh, yeah.
Hot yoga?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I left like 3 times.
Yeah.
First and foremost, I get in there. And I'm sweating. I've got a big 2-liter bottle of water. I'm just jamming that down. Now, they encourage you to go, if you're a guy, no shirt, just be in like your little underwear.
There's not a lot of clothes.
There was a guy next to me who should have had clothes on, who didn't.
Just farting himself the whole
hour. He was thicker. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
And he was sweating up a storm, and it was kind of oozing onto my side.
Oh.
Like his sweat was starting to move?
Because he would move, and it would fly off of his body.
That's disgusting. No, I don't know what classes you're going to get.
I got up and left a few times because I felt like I couldn't breathe. I could see the air in there. It was so thick and so hot. And then I would come back in. I felt like I was disruptive to the class because everyone else in there is...
You're just supposed to lie down on your mat. Don't leave. It's supposed to help with your breathing. It expands your lungs. So when I'm in a high-pressure situation now...
Go one day before we go to work.
This guy...
You're saying it works with what you do at work, too.
Yeah, honestly, like, I know this sounds like an advertisement now for hot yoga, but it has helped with my breathing. So when I'm like, you know, if you're nervous, excited, whatever, you're about to go on air, TV, right, the whole hype... Just take a few breaths and off you go.
Italy making their debut in the World Cup tomorrow. What are you expecting?
Do I slide tackle you now or later?
How about that? Italy's not even in the World Cup.
So I'm watching Sweden play today, and I can't even figure out a good thing I want to say about them because Sweden's the one who ultimately eliminated Italy.
Oh, really?
So I'm like, look at Sweden taking on Korea. But I'm like, but I like Swedes. Mm-hmm. But look at them.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be nice. Yeah.
They broke your hearts. They broke your heart.
Would you have a flag in your car?
No, I've said this before. I don't do flags on cars because I have this paranoia that they're going to fly off and it's going to hit my windshield and impale me. Even though I know they claim they're good and whatever, I have that fear.
Plus, you look like a loser with a flag.
Well, I guess there's that,
don't forget that element.
All right, good seeing you, Andy. Door's always open. Yeah. Pop in whenever you want.
I'll come bug you guys and just look at you with
disappointment.
Yeah,
we're always looking for judgment on this show.
Yeah.
There's Andy Petrillo joining us in studio. Some Leaf talk, some World Cup talk, some hot yoga talk. Some underpants talk.
Got it all done.
You got it.
Everything.
A good clean. And test.
Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Garrett Rank coming up from the U.S. Open. Get his take on what happened over the weekend. And Ray Ferraro will join us. We'll get into the Bob McKenzie tweets on John Tavares. Barry Trotz dropping the mic in D.C. It's draft week in the NHL and lots of rumors in the NBA as well as we head up to the NBA draft on Thursday night.
Good.
You're like gold dust. Jeff Gold Dust O'Neill. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.